Welcome back to the second session of this workshop on recovery from childhood trauma. What I want to do in this session is just take an overview, a first look at the model for recovery that we're going to be exploring in this series. So, a couple general statements about this model. First of all, it is a model, and models are limited. It's just simply one way of looking at a recovery process. It is not the one right way. It's a way that we can conceptualize and put handles on what is a very messy and often very confusing, alarming, distressing process. The second thing I would say is that as you look at this model and you see these nine neat little boxes, that what it looks like is not how it feels. It looks neat and tidy, and recovery from childhood trauma is anything but neat and tidy. It is truly messy. And I often say when I give this workshop to groups that I really would do well to pass out crayons with a handout and let people scribble all over this. Maybe they would want to scribble red for rage and yellow for fear and gray for despair. Maybe a little blue for some hope and a little bit of green for some beginning new life. But whatever else it is certainly messy. But really that's one of the gifts of a model like this, is that it can give us some handles. It can actually act as a guide or a map or signposts to encourage us on our way, to tell us that we're really on the right path. And that is important in this process because it often feels like the path of healing must be going the wrong direction because it is so messy and often so painful. So another really important piece about this model is that it is at its heart what we might call an integration model. It assumes that experiences that are traumatic, especially experiences in childhood when we have very few resources and when we're really developing our sense of self, that traumas that are overwhelming and ongoing or where we feel terrified or out of control, that what we tend to do with those is to push away that pain, to compartmentalize it. We push away the experience and we push away a part of ourselves. And what happens over time is that we become separated from ourselves and in conflict with ourselves. And it is that separation and that conflict internally that needs to heal. And the path forward is so counterintuitive because the path forward to healing is to embrace those parts of us that we have pushed away and disowned, to embrace the pain that we have wanted to disown, either by completely forgetting it or by minimizing it and saying, you know, it wasn't so bad, or I survived it, or other people go through worse. All those ways that we push away from that pain, or by calling ourselves terrible names, for even thinking that it's a problem. So, looking at this model, you will see that it assumes three ego states. Now, what we're talking about here, three parts of ourselves, is something that we talk about kind of in common language. We will often say, part of me wants to do this, part of me doesn't want to do this. We often have that experience of sort of a multiple of internal experiences at once. So this model is saying that what helps is to look at three particular ego states. In this process. One is the ego state of a wounded child. This part of us carries the terror, the fear, the confusion, the shame, the wound. It carries the pain. And this part of us is going to be the age or the stage that we were when the trauma happened. So if we experienced a sexual assault, let's say when we were 13, this part of us will be like a 13-year-old in terms of developmental stage. Now, for many people, childhood trauma is something that has many events or is ongoing. And so the ages and stages of this wounded child is going to be many ages and stages. It might feel like there's many wounded children in a sense, in that sense. little kids and middle school kids and teenage kids. The judgmental part of us is the part of us that is controlling and harsh, really quite mean with ourselves. I also see this part of us as a little kid. My thought is that this controlling, judgmental part of us begins to develop at the same time that the wound is developing. This part believes that we are at fault. This part believes that it's his or her job to keep the wounded part of us silent, pushed away, disowned. Because this part of us, this controlling part of us, is afraid we will go out of control or that we will cause more problems if this part doesn't just keep pushing us down and pushing us away. And then there's a compassionate self, an observing compassionate self. And observing might be another word for a word that's very popular right now in our literature and in our conversation, and that is mindfulness. This is the part of us that can pay attention, that can take a step back from what's going on inside and notice that we're anxious, notice what that anxiety is feeling like in our body. This is the part of us that observes and is present. And the compassionate self is the part that comes alongside with love and respect and wisdom to ourselves or to others who are in need or in pain. This part of us is usually quite well developed in relationship to how we respond to other people and is often quite anemic when we start this process in relationship to ourselves. And one of the reasons for this is because this controlling, judgmental part of us does not want to hear any compassion towards that wounded self, because above all else, that wounded child in us is starving for love and will not be able to be kept quiet if compassion is extended to it. It will come out of hiding and need to be pushed away again, according to our controlling self. So this is the division and the conflict that we start with. And you can see in the model that as you look through the model, that there's heavy lines separating these three ego states when we start that get a little bit thinner and eventually dissolve as we move into a place of greater integration. So looking at the process then, this process is a process of developing awareness of what's going on inside of our wounded self, our judgmental self, and our compassionate self. Then moving into a place of ownership, that is really saying, this is me, this is going on inside of me, and this is my story. And this is how what happened to me impacted me. And moving eventually into a place of compassion for ourselves, where that compassionate, observing self is really able to embrace and hold and comfort and bring healing to that judgmental self and to that wounded self. I think you can see that it's really not going to be possible to do this alone, because we start out with no compassion for ourselves and pretty locked down, and then pretty much a mess. We need support and help from God and from others. I do want to say something about this process. It looks like 1, 2, 3. Of course, it is not. This is a cyclical process where we develop a little bit of awareness, and then we take a little bit of ownership, and then we move towards a little bit of integration. And then we move back into developing a little bit more awareness. And then we take a little bit more ownership and move into a little bit more integration. And with each kind of movement, each of those 1, 2, 3 dance steps, we get a little stronger, get a little bit more willing to keep leaning in to the healing process, a little bit more willing to lean into developing awareness, taking ownership, and bringing compassion and healing to our wounded selves. I want to